श्रीमद् भागवता महापुराण की जय 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 श्री राधे। दिवाली उत्सव की जय। अपार सिद्धि वृद्धि दिग्ध संपदा। We're discussing this verse number 19 from Rasa Panchadhyaya, Rasa Lila. Krishna's preaching to the gopis using different techniques to elicit behavior response, change their behavior, change their hearts, change their thinking, and change their direction so they turn about face and go home. At least that's what it may appear like. Rajan yesha gora rupa. Gora sattva nishevita pratiyata brajam neha steyam stribi sumadhyama rupa sevita neha madhyama. The translation is that Krishna is telling the gopis, tonight is quite frightening. And frightening creatures are lurking about. Return to Braj, Pratiyata. Slender-waisted girls, this is not the proper place for women. Or is it? Seems like maybe it is. But Shukadeva is saying it. I mean, excuse me, Krishna is implying that it's not. So what's happening here, Vishnu Chakravarti gives an introduction to his Tika by saying that he's going to describe the thinking of the Braja Gopis and the dialogue between them and Krishna regarding this question from the last verse. Krishna has three questions. Why did you come? Is everything all right? What can I do to please you? So then he begins his Tika by saying like this. He says, When the gopis heard Krishna ask these three questions, at an unseeming, completely surprising, alarming questions at a time like that, it's not the question you ask your beloved under the full moon night light on the banks of the Yamuna. Oh, why did you come? Something wrong in your house? When you're with your beloved, you don't care if the whole world disappears. You don't care if your house blows up. And all your relatives get liberated, or your business, place of business burns down, or the whole world comes to an end. It doesn't matter. If you're with someone you love, that's all that matters, and all that counts. Love is everything, the beginning, the middle, and everything. So the gopis are thinking. What are they thinking? Vishnu Chakravarti says, this is, again, they're exasperated. Imagine, they're exasperated, they're frustrated in one sense, surprised, astounded, astonished, amazed, bewildered, confused, vimohayan. All these things and more are included in the word vimohayan, which we heard two verses ago. Vimohayan. He confused their minds, bewildered their hearts, created so much tension in their bhav. But it was a dynamic tension. Their bhav dynamically start to vibrate in newer and deeper ways. So Krishna, they were thinking, alas, alas, even after shattering our family responsibilities, our sobriety and our shame, and enjoying us day after day, and after now dragging us here by the sound of his flute, Krishna is asking us why we have come. Vishnu's commentary in Sanskrit is, this is a close translation. Literally, the gopis are implying, you're asking us why we came here. If some man grabs a woman, knocks her out, and drags her across the field to his place, and then she wakes up, and then he says, oh, why have you come here? You knocked me out and dragged me over here. So the Krishna knocked out the gopis with his flute playing, and bewildered them and just hypnotized them, so they came without any conscious awareness that their legs were moving and leaving their houses and giving up their soberness and their shyness, their shame, their family response. He shattered them. He just, just like you can imagine, this word shatter is the closest rendition of the Sanskrit, which I don't remember, obviously. I didn't translate the Tika, nor do I know how. But if you have a piece of glass, glass is something that shatters. In English, shatters. If you have a piece of glass and you throw a stone, it shatters. Instantly disappears, loses its form, shape, and splinters across the floor. So this is like that. In 1 second, the stone hits the glass, it's shattered. So when the flute hit the ears and resonated in their hearts, all of that background they had, all of that society attachments and family and name and shame and Lajja Dharma, it was just like a piece of glass. So Krishna's flute was that stone. And sometimes Krishna would take stones, and the gopis are walking with a water pot on their head, and then Krishna would take a stone from a secret hiding place with some Gilgal or something, slingshot, tang, and make little tiny hole. And then the water is dripping out the back of the water pot the gopis carrying from the Yamuna, slowly. And she's walking, and she's so absorbed in gossiping with her girlfriend, her Saki. Ha ha ha. And then she goes, and it feels a little bit of drops coming slow, slow, slow out the back of this pot where Krishna expertly shut the hole. And the water's coming, slight, like some fly landing. And then, and so, ha ha. That, yeah, Krishna did this, and then, yeah, and this like that. Ha-ha. And then ladies are talking like this and walking, laughing. Then slowly by slowly, pretty soon her whole beanie is soaking wet, and then she feels her choli, you know, kanchuli is all wet. And then she stops, and all water is coming down her back, and she takes, oh no. So like this, Krishna hits one hole and all the water runs out. That's slowly. But when he played his flute, Vishnu Chakravarti said, it shattered all their shyness, family responsibilities, everything. And then he dragged them there. And then he has the audacity and boldness, because he's in Bhamya Bhav, to ask them this question, why they have come. And that's how he opens up this translation of verse 19. As the gopis cast sidelong glances at one another, it seems that sidelong glances are the main way of communicating in Brajadham. No one looks you in the eye. In the West, people say, I think you're lying. I think you're lying. Look me straight in the eye. We have terms like fishy eyes. Oh, he has fishy eyes. He won't look you straight in the eyes. Where were we the other day? Well, I was home. Are you sure you weren't in the marketplace when that murder was committed? No, I wasn't in the marketplace. The shifty eyes, fishy eyes, like fish. You know? So usually people try to pin someone down to the truth by saying, look me straight in the eyes, man to man, or whatever, lady to lady. But the gopis are looking at each other, Saki Kripa Kataksha, or let's say, they communicate. It seems that they only like to look out of the Kataksha. Krishna Kripa Kataksha, Radha Kripa Kataksha, Saki Kripa, no, maybe forget Kripa, but say Saki Kataksha, and then Krishna Kataksha. Everyone is, Krishna is saying, gopis are casting sidelong glances at one another. Why sidelong? Because they're basically looking at Krishna. They're standing in front of him, and they don't want to be disrespectful or inattentive in their japa. And when you chant japa, we're looking everywhere but at the japa. Our mental, the eyes of our minds also have eyes. And they don't look at the meaning or the leelas or the form of Radha and Krishna when we're chanting. We look at the storage of our YouTube movies in here. It's called YouTube because you have your own tube. YouTube. YouTube means you have your own TV tube right here. When you chant japa, oh, now it's YouTube. Hare Krishna. Oh, that's not, that's it. Hare Krishna. Oh, this is that. How was your mala? How was your bhajan? How was your, oh, I saw a very nice YouTube movie. Aren't you aware? On the internet? No, in here. So this, the gopis are, they're looking at each other because they have to look at Krishna attentively. So they're looking at him at the same time. In other words, They're all feeling a certain feeling. And then they want to know for sure and confirm, are you feeling the same thing I'm feeling? But they don't want to be inattentive to looking at Krishna. So they're looking at Krishna. They're looking at Krishna in such a way that he's not supposed to know that they're communicating with each other. It's like passing secret notes in school. You're paying attention in school and you write something. And your friend looks at it. You know, we're having a party such and such time, and it's all going on. The teachers say, oh, this is mathematics. And they say, oh, yeah, this is mathematics. Like this. So the gopis are looking at Krishna. Why you came? They go, why we came? How can I please you? What is your reason for coming here? Is he for real? Could you believe what you're hearing? Do you believe what you're hearing? So as the gopis cast sidelong glances at one another, Krishna said, because this is all play. This is all play of love. And it's just their how they're enjoying and enhancing, because it's enhancing the anticipation, excitement, anticipation, as we well know, at least in our experience, that the anticipation of an event creates much greater happiness and joy than the actual event itself. The anticipation of an event. Oh, we're going on a vacation and we'll see this and that. Yes, yes, and then you go there. That's what we call maybe a letdown. It's not quite the anticipation, the suspense. So of course it doesn't apply here, but this idea, this mood of anticipation before actually doing what you intend to do or what you came to do creates an exciting thrill in the loving relationship of Radha and Krishna. They will dance together. They will dance and romance after their parlance. This is their parlance, their discussion, talking. And they'll do everything that they thought about and dreamed about and all the different ways they wanted to serve Krishna and love him intimately. But now this is, he's prolonging and enhancing the anticipation. So he says that, so he sees them glancing at one another and he's trying to think, oh, I wonder what they're communicating to each other. Krishna said, if you try to tell me that you've come to get the night blooming lotus flowers, to worship God, there's God right in front of you, and it is these flowers you're looking at with your sidelong glances, I have to reject your excuse as unacceptable, since neither the time, place, nor persons involved are appropriate. In other words, he's saying, are you looking at the flowers? Which obviously they're not. They're looking at each other's hearts through the corners of their eyes. Lalita's looking into Vishaka's heart. Vishaka's looking into Radharani's heart. Do you feel what I feel? Yes, I feel what you feel. And you feel what I feel? Yes. And is he for real? I doubt it. He says, oh, are you communicating to each other? You're looking at each other thinking, yes, we came to pick some flowers. I mean, girls always go out in the forest at midnight to pick flowers. It's very standard. No, I don't accept this. This is unacceptable to me. I reject your excuse. You're trying to tell me with your sidelong glances? Are you trying to tell me with your sidelong glances at each other, sakis, that you came to pick flowers at midnight? Is that what you're trying to say? And he says, I reject it. Or Krishna might have said to the gopis, this is the beginning of this verse 19, even though there's abundant, first he sees them looking at each other with sidelong glances, one gopi to another, communicating their feelings and their hearts and their understanding. What is Krishna doing to us? Why is he playing like this? Anyway, let's play. Let's feel the rise of our own ecstasies and enhance his love by playing along with his game, really. So then they're quiet. They're only speaking to each other through the eyes. And Krishna's interpreting, oh, you're looking at each other because you came to pick the flowers at midnight? I don't accept that. That excuse is unacceptable to me because this is not the time or the place or the circumstance to pick flowers to worship God. That's what he asked them. Did you come here in the forest on Sharad Purnima at midnight to pick flowers to worship Surya Dev or Vishnu or your Kula Devata, your family deity? I don't accept that. Or Vishnu may have said to them, because they're quiet. Even though there's abundant, this is almost like a monologue. It's meant to be a dialogue, some love. But in these so many verses in the beginning here, only Krishna is speaking. There's no reply, at least from verbal reply. So many replies are coming from Krishna's hearts and their hearts. So then he says, all right, forget about the flowers because the gopis are glancing at each other and he thinks perchance maybe they're looking this way or that way towards the ground at the flowers blossoming, maybe some lotus flowers, land lotuses or some flowers, malika flowers. Then maybe they look at each other and they say, oh no, they're not looking at the moon at all. It's simply sometimes when you're frustrated, unhappy, you say, oh, you look up like this. Oh, now you're looking there. Oh, even though there's abundant moonlight, this is not a good time to come out to admire the moonlight. Better if you stay in Varsana or Yavat and go out to your balcony of your palace, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, because in Purnima at night, the moon rises quite early. This particular time of the month, Shukla Paksha, it rises by 7 o'clock, 7:30, and now it's 12 o'clock. So you could have appreciated the beauty of the moon, the reddish disk of the moon, all that beauty you could have appreciated at home without coming here to the middle of the forest. So this time of night is not really the right time to admire the roshni, the prava of the moon, the light of the moon. Why? Snakes, scorpions, and dangerous creatures, gora sattva, too small for you to see, are lying beneath the creepers, roots and twigs, as if they care. Do the cows care where they walk in the daytime? They go hither and thither, seeking fresh grass or just playing and running, frolicking and romping here and there. They don't consider maybe there's a scorpion under these grass. So when the gopis are running to Krishna, oh, be careful, they might step on a scorpion, they might step on a snake. They can't see anything. They just glide along, as we heard yesterday, they don't even go along the footpaths. They go the shortest way to two points is a straight line. So they go in a straight line, which means there's no pathway. They make their own, every road is gopi gully. They make their own roads, like we say, they say off the road vehicles or something. They have these jeeps you can go anywhere off the road. So their road is the road of love. It's the prem rasta. So they go their own way. They make their own way. They make their own road straight. So how many times they must encounter all these creatures all the time? Every night they're going to meet Krishna. But he's saying, oh, don't you know? And of course they know. Therefore, this is not a good time to come to pick flowers or admire the moonlight. Not only that, but this place is not suitable for you to gather flowers. First, the place you're going to pick flowers, but the very place you're going to pick. When you go to pick that flower from that creeper or from that little bush or shrub, there may be a poisonous snake entwined in there, just like Ratki Rani, or this Madhumalati. It's very fragrant. And snakes like fragrances. That's why they curl around to keep cool. They curl around the chandan trees, the sandalwood trees. They curl around there. And they often, if you grow in your garden, Ratki Rani, the snakes like to come and sleep under there. It's a night blooming flower. Somehow, it's news to me, but that's what the Brijvasis say, and I've seen it because we have it growing there. They are attracted to the fragrance. So when they go to pick the flowers, one of those snakes may be there, ha! Or one scorpion. And then he says, not only that, what your very seva that you want to do, this Pushpa Seva, collecting flowers for Vishnu Puja, you'll be endangered and you may threaten your life just to do that. So this is not a good place or time to pick flowers. And this place, the forest itself that you're moving in, forget about your flowers and picking your flowers. The dangers that are immediately there at the flowers. But the dangers all around as you walk through this forest looking for your flowers is full of wolves and jackals and tigers. All these dangerous, ghora, ferocious, man-eating animals. So this is all these reasons. Therefore, for all these reasons, you should go back to Braj. This is how it opens up. So if we look at line 1 or 2 We'll look at the lines here from the Sanskrit, and Vishwanath gives some insight into these. This is text 19. Rajanyesha ghora rupa ghora sattva nishevita. Basically, it's kind of repetition. But this Rajani knight, he says this ghora rupam, this is the outward meaning, of course, the form of terrible, ferocious, frightening creatures here. And then he says ghora sattva. He says, first he says the knight is frightening. And everyone knows that at night, when darkness comes, then fear rises. When the sun rises, fear diminishes. When the sun sets, fear arises in our mind and our heart. The human beings generally become somewhat anxious, somewhat tense. And as it gets further, more and more dark, people become more anxious and nervous. Because in the dark, so many crimes are committed, theft, murder, etc., robbery. So Krishna is saying, if you think about this, the night is very fear-inducing. Everyone feels fear at night. That's even if you're just moving around. Nowadays, like for example in Delhi, people are afraid to go out after 8 o'clock at night or any time in the dark. They take their dinner, and 50 years ago they would walk outside and be able to peacefully walk with no fear. Take a walk in the fresh air and come back. Now they're totally afraid. Someone may kidnap my child or kidnap me. It's very dangerous. So that's fear even in the immediate home situation, security and peace of home sweet home. Now run to a forest 10, 20 kilometers away from your home. Run into the middle of a forest. And there's no traffic lights or street lights. It's totally, well, now the full moon is there. Forest at night is a very frightening place. The unknown. Darkness is unknown. And forests, as everyone knows, are inhabited by ferocious, killing creatures. So Krishna is trying to, in one sense, create some fear, some frighten the gopis, the forest, ferocious jungle animals. So this is almost a tactic, because in the first verse, this is the external meaning. 18, he's saying that, he's asking about, how's your well-being? Anamayam. Are you all right? So he's talking about fear and safety. Fear and safety. He's using, in his dialogue, he's using psychology to try to create change in behavior. People change their behavior due to personal safety. I have to care for myself, protect myself. Preservation is like the first law. And then he says it's a fearful place. Whereas in the Bhagavatam it says, yad yad bibhiti svayam. That which is fear personified is standing right in front of them. Personification of fearlessness is right there, Krishna. But now he's saying, this is a very fearful place. But should they be afraid of the tigers or afraid of Krishna, the Krishna tiger? Krishna, this is the point. So he says that you're unprotected here. Who's protecting you in this verse? And then he says, because of that, because it's fearful, it's not safe, it's fearful, then pratiyata vrajaneha, stayam sribi. He says, your women, you should go home to Braj. You should go back there. And then this is where Vishnath starts to explain here. Because he says, gora rupa, gora sattva. Rupa is a long A. So gora rupa, gora. He says, are there fearful creatures? Is a night frightening? And he says, no. Is a night frightening because there's fearful creatures? And he says, rupa, gora. No, there are. Rup, there's the form of a frightful creature is not found here. Agor. Agor means ferocious, frightful. Gora. But agor means not ferocious, not fearful. So the form, you won't find the form of any ferocious creature here. In the kingdom of love, where is the danger? There's no danger in the kingdom of love. So every creature, was there any danger to Das Goswami when he was drinking water from Shamakund 500 years ago? Two tigers came. And it's okay. We came to drink this wonderful water at Manasabhavan Ghat, this prem filled water. And they drank and they walked away. And then, of course, Krishna, the devotee, he has no fear. And in Vrindavan, Prabhupada even mentions one purport, all the animals live in a friendly relationship in Vrindavan. When you live here today, even you still see today how friendly they are and how amazing relationships. There'll be a small dog running up and down in Radhakund, and a small monkey will jump on his back and they'll ride around together and play. The monkey will stand on the back of the dog and they'll play. So this fearfulness is not there. So this is because in Vrindavan, especially when Krishna is there, every tree, every lata, every animal, they're all assisting and nourishing Krishna's love, as we mentioned yesterday. And gopis know that. So Krishna is preaching like this because this is the external person who reads it will think, yes, I would run away from a fearful situation. I would run away from ferocious animals. Even if my friend was there, I would say, why are you staying here? You come with me. So he's trying this. And then, so he says, don't stay here, return to Braj. That's what it says. Pratiyata Brajam, Neha. Now, Vishnu, because this is what Sanskrit you can do, he takes this word Neha, it's actually two words, Na and Iha. Braja Neha. Pratiyata Brajam, Neha. You should Neha Stayam. You should not stay here. And then he changes around and says, Na Braja Priyata. You should not go back to Braj. Because Priyata Brajam, he says, you should go back to Braj. And he says, no. You should go back to Braj. No. Don't go back to Braj. Iha Staham. It's just changing one word. Neha is Na Iha. You should not go. You should stay. Basically he's saying, and it just switched around. He's saying, you should stay, don't go. So now the gopis, if you read the characteristics of the gopis, like Tungavidyasakhi, for example, they're not any less clever than Krishna. They're not. They're very clever and very learned in a wide variety of arts, all the 64 arts. And most of them, they can understand the language that Krishna is speaking, the internal and external language. So he's just exhibiting this Bhamya Bhav, okay, you should go home. No, you should actually stay. So they, by this phrase, they can tell, this particular phrase, they can tell that now Krishna is weakening. He's coming from Bhamya Bhav to Dakshin Bhav. He's like, you know, I don't think I can carry on this charade any longer. He wants as much to embrace Radharani and to dance with her as she does, and they all do with him. And so he's trying something that it's not natural. If you try to do something that's not natural, you can fake it, as we say, for a short time. But then it doesn't feel comfortable to fake to be what you're not. So then Krishna's gradually, his Dakshin Bhav is rising up. Go and ferocious animals and safety and protection and, well, maybe stay. And actually, you're really beautiful and you have thin waist. He's moving. Now he's changing. He's saying, stay. And then they're thinking, well, why should we stay? It's actually a very fearful place. And it's, you told us it's a fearful place. It's ferocious animals. It's the dead of night. And you're worried about our safety. And you want us to return home. But then Krishna says, what does he say? Stribi sumadhyama. Then when he says this, oh, you should go home. Why should you go home? Because you have very thin, beautiful waist. In Sanskrit, at least in the time of culture, things were all very indirect but understood. So if you simply glorify Stri Sumadhyama, Braja Stri Sumadhyama, if you glorify the woman and said, oh, your waist is very Sumadhyama, your mid portion, you have a very slender, beautiful, attractive waist, that says it all. That phrase says it all. It says you're beautiful from head to toe, from fingertip to toe tip. You're very beautiful. And when you say that, it's a praise, it's flattery. It's flattery, which means Dakshin Bhav. That means that Krishna, because this is what is you, when generally the submissive lover, the man, part of the wooing and seducing the beloved is to flatter. Oh, you're very beautiful. I've never seen anyone more beautiful than you. Your dress looks so attractive. So Krishna, now things are changing. And so he says, then Vishnath comments on this particular line, Sribi Sumadhyama. He says that, because when he tells them to go back, that it's not, there's so many snakes and all this, and then the gopis, finally, Vishnath envisions that they say something. All right, you told us to return to Braj, what you just said, Pratiyata Brajam, you should go back. But can we rest here for a few minutes? can we rest here for a few minutes before we go? Because it's been a long walk. It took us a long time. Can we rest? And then when Krishna hears that, he said, oh, no. Women shouldn't remain in this kind of place, because the time and the place is wrong for persons like you and I to stay here even for a moment. Why? And then he tells why. Because, O slender waisted ones, Sumadhima, why should you not delay or tarry, stay here very long? Because you're very beautiful young girls, and I am a beautiful young boy. Because you're chaste, and I'm a brahmachari, as confirmed in by the words Krishna Brahmachari and Gopal Tapani Upanishad, there should be no fault in our being in the same place. At least externally it appears. I'm a brahmachari, so I'm okay with you. And you're chaste, so there's no problem. But nevertheless, that's the externals. That may be the physical designation of an ashram or a position or a social position. But there's something called a mind. And the mind, Krishna says, can never be trusted, as we know very well. Neither your mind nor my mind. So since Krishna is kind of saying, I'm losing it and you better go soon, which means don't go, please stay. Now Vishnu reveals Krishna's heart. Krishna's inner eagerness is quite obvious. His real heart is obvious in what he's saying. If we read Krishna's words between the lines as follows, and he says, if out of shyness, because they really haven't said anything except what Vishwanath is imagining, if out of shyness you cannot tell me the reason why you've come, which I asked you, then don't speak. I already know. Anyway, so listen as I tell you. So this is now on this particular point about Sribi Sumadhyama. Well, he continues, Vishwanath. But our Gurudev, he made a comment on this line, which is what we have here in these notes. Relation is samadhima, which means they have thin, beautiful waist. All the gopis gathered in front of Krishna were exquisitely beautiful. They're described by the word sumadhima. The standard of beauty of a woman is sumadhima, when the middle portion of the body is slender. Krishna wanted to impress upon them that they were not old enough to take care of themselves. Actually, they required protection. It was not very wise for them to come in the dead of night to Krishna. Krishna also indicated that he was young and that they were young girls. And he says, it does not look well for young girls and boys to remain together in the dead of night. So Prabhupada, he's sprinkling his own purport with a touch of Vishnu Chakravarti's tika. And he's emphasizing the external meaning of this, not a safe place. But who can protect Krishna? Who can protect anyone more than Krishna? Because Krishna is the ultimate protector of everyone. Then Vishnath, he concludes this whole thing with some dialogue that they say, the internal meaning, which is what is Krishna saying, O gopis, the all-pervading moonlight has created a serene and peaceful atmosphere in the forest, devoid of fear. There are only peaceful creatures here, such as deer, agora sattve. And the ferocious beasts like tigers and bears are harmless because of Braj's naturally non-violent atmosphere. Consequently, this night should not frighten you. So the Sanskrit taken, as I said, instead of gora becomes agora. Then instead of becoming fearful and frightening, it becomes peaceful and fearless. Hence, you should not frighten you. Don't be afraid that your husbands or other relatives may come looking for you. Fearing those dangerous animals, they will definitely not come near this place. So don't go back to Braj. There's no reason to go there. Your husbands, no one will come look for you. Stay here in my company. So then Vishnu says the gopis now, he imagines or he sees in his spurti, this pastime, and the gopis say, okay, you're telling us to stay here, But do you tell any kind of woman to stay with you? You meet any woman in the dead of night, you say, oh, don't go, stay. And then gopis ask, will you keep any type of woman with you? And Krishna says, no, no, I'm very selective. I'm very particular. I only keep women like you, who are young and beautiful with slender waist. You should stay here with me, not any other type of women. So Vishnu, thus by reading, he says, he concludes, reading the Sanskrit words differently, one can see that Krishna's words are full of considerate as well as neglectful statements. In this wonderful exchange of love, Krishna simultaneously teases and enchants the gopis with his clever words. So this verse, read the translation again. He said, the night, oh gopis, the night is quite frightening, and frightening creatures are lurking about. Slender-waisted girls, please, this is not the proper place for women like you. Please return to Braj. So he's increasing their attachment, their thirst for love, and his own also. And this is his nature. And then we can go on to the next verse. But in one sense, he's trying to appeal to them, as I mentioned, out of fear and safety. And these are, you can say, looking from our level, let's say, of sadhakas, fear and safety are two very major concerns of ours. Security and fear. And Krishna's showing in this example the gopis that they are really fearless and don't care for any security. Because he's saying, go home, please return home. Brajam pratiyata, that means go to a secure place, go to a safe place. And then he says, and this is a fearful place. And this is exactly what people try to tell you when you approach God, or you try to give up your life to serve God. They say, oh, come home, this is secure. What about your future? What will happen if you surrender everything to God? Aren't you concerned about your security? Aren't you afraid? This is how people preach or try to bring devotees away from Krishna consciousness in the very beginning. And these types of qualities are actually always carried by a devotee till he surrenders. Fear, attachment to security, and fear of the future. And this prevents one from Sharanagati. Depending on Krishna as my maintainer, the six symptoms of surrender. Surrender means that Krishna will maintain me. He'll do everything. I just serve him. But do we really believe that? Look at the gopis. Look at the situation. Such a fearful situation. Insecure situation. In the middle of the forest, there are no walls. There's no roof. There are no doors. There's no boundary walls. All this whole secure, safe situation. We have doors and locks and bolts. They're there. The directions are the walls, and the sky is their roof. But they have Krishna. And that's all one needs. So we can draw some idea from this, that how these tender, it says these slender-waisted girls, Sumadhyama, so tender, so young. Really, it says in other commentaries, some of these sadhana-siddha gopis are 7 years old, and Krishna's 8. Of course, they mature and all these things, but so that they're young, they're tender, they're innocent. Usually a 10-year-old boy or an 8 or 9-year-old girl is not particularly fearless. They're very nervous and anxious about their safety and fear. So Krishna's trying to say, don't you feel insecure? Don't you want to run home to your security of your house and surroundings? And aren't you fearful for your body and your existence? Gopis aren't moving one millimeter. They're not moving. They're not even, their eyebrows aren't even raising. It said they're only looking at each other with sidelong glances. Like, this is interesting. But when someone's fearful, if you're speaking to someone to create fear, then you see the response on that person's face that they're becoming fearful. Oh, really? Yeah. If you go there, there's this thing and that thing and that, it'll catch you. Oh, really? Oh, that. But the gopis are just, they're not changing their look. They're just looking full of eagerness and full of surprise and astonishment, just full of love. Because this is the depth, and when their love is so deep with the gopis, nothing can change it. And this is the definition of prema we were hearing yesterday. No matter what Krishna does, whether he leaves them, or embraces them, or tramples them, or is indifferent to them, or goes with some other sakhi, or comes late, or has obvious signs of enjoying another, and comes right in front of Radharani without any shame, shamelessly, this bold one, their love never diminishes. But we see, if there's some question about our security, about our safety, then how is our bhakti, how does it diminish? It may diminish somewhat. So this is one we can see, we can learn something from this, take into our own lives, how that if Krishna is before us, if we really feel the presence of Krishna before us, then we should never be concerned or worried about personal security, home, hearth or home, or have any fear of anything. This is the sign of true bhakti. If bhakti is there, there's no fear, because one is always in the presence of the beloved, surrounded by Krishna everywhere, and they don't move. You look this way, that way, but Krishna is always in front of you. So this is one lesson. We can go on to the next verse. Krishna's trying, he tries more, continues with his ideas to convince them to try to, let's say, go. He tried safety. He spoke about safety and fear and this dangerous place. The time is wrong, the place is wrong, and maybe you can't trust me, and you're very beautiful, and I can't trust you. And then what about this? There's something else I want to remind you of. And then he continues with this double meaning of his conversation, and his words. Vishnu, in an introduction, he said, when Krishna is speaking these words, it seems that he's very concerned about the safety, welfare, and security and happiness of the gopis. And he's really looking out for their, I'm warning you, this is a dangerous place. And he's worried about them. But actually, he's just teasing them. He's teasing and playing with them. And he thinks they don't know it, but they know it. And they're playing right along. That's what play is. You may know that someone's teasing you. You may be the butt of jokes. Someone may be using you to joke and make laughter. And you say, okay, fine. Use me in any way if everyone enjoys and laughing. Okay, it's called make someone the butt of jokes, the object of joking. So they're playing. Krishna wants to play like this. Okay, you play like this. So this next verse is verse number 20. Matara, pitara, putra, bratara, pratya, Patayashchava Vichinvanti Yapashyantyo Mak Kridvam Bandhu Sadvasam. He decides that let me remind you where you came from. First I'm trying to scare you about where you are. You know where you are right now? You're in the forest at midnight. And do you know who you're with? You're with a very dangerous tiger. You're with a very dangerous person, me. And you know who you are? They're very beautiful young girls. So that didn't faze them. It didn't. Now he's trying to say, did you forget where you came from? Did you forget your families and your homes? So now he's trying to remind them. He says, your mata, pita, putra, bratra. He says, your mother, your father, your sons, your brother, your relatives, not finding you at home, your mothers, fathers, sons, brothers, and husbands, must be searching for you. Where are they? Don't cause anxiety for your family members. Sadvasam. Sadvasam means anxiety. And Prabhupada translates it. My dear friends, which of course means my Priya Sakis, I can understand that you have left your homes without the permission of your guardians. I think, therefore, that your mother's fathers, elderly brothers, and even your sons, what to speak of your husbands, it's interesting, they're last on the list, must be very anxious to find you. As long as you are here with me, they must be searching in different places, and their minds must be very agitated. So don't tarry and wait here. Please go back immediately and make them peaceful. So this whole dialogue and this exchange, it brings up the point of, in this discussion about Krishna's heroic quality that we wanted to just describe, that Krishna has features, all the features of a perfect hero or perfect nayak, and described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Dhirodata, Dhirodata, dear Prashant and dear Lalita, especially in Vrindavan and his loving exchanges with the gopis, Krishna shows his dear Lalita nature. And in Jiva Dharma and other places, it describes the qualities of this hero, that he's the amorous hero, that he is described, a dear Lalita hero, these are the features of Krishna, where he's expert in all the arts of amorous loving affairs. He's always situated in fresh youth. He's an expert joker, which we're seeing here. He's forever free from anxiety, and he's controlled by his lovers. And that's the terms that are used in Sanskrit, rasik. He's rasik, as we heard, rasik shekhar. Expert at relishing loving mellows, which he's doing now. He's navayovanam. He's on the threshold of youth. Parihasa chaturi. He's an expert joker. What we're seeing now, of course, all these things, but especially this joking, how expert parihasa chaturi. He's very clever and expert at joking. Nischintata means he's free from anxiety. Although he's like this, he falls under control of his lovers. And there's a nice example in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that I want to read from Srila Rupa Goswami Pad about dear Lalita, hero, in relation to Krishna and Radharani. Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a person is called dear Lalita if he is naturally very funny, always in full youthfulness, expert in joking, and free from all anxieties. Such a dear Lalita personality is generally found to be very submissive to his lover. One day, Srimati Radharani and her sakis were taking rest in her garden, you could say Kunja. At that time, Krishna arrived amongst the gopis. After sitting down amongst the gopis with Radharani, Krishna began to impudently narrate about his previous pastimes with Radharani. While he was in front of all, this is, in other words, he's trying to embarrass Radharani. In front of all the sakis, he's saying, oh, Lalita Vishaka, last night in the Kunja Leela with Radharani, so you don't know what happened. So many amazing things happened, let me tell you. While Krishna was speaking this way, talking about the Nibritani Kunja Leela, the private meetings with Radharani in the Kunja, then she became very embarrassed. She was feeling ashamed in front of her sakis. These are her contemporaries, Lalita Vishaka. And Radharani was ashamed, and she was deeply absorbed in thought. Why, she was so ashamed, she just closed her eyes and she thought, oh, what's going on? What is he doing? While Radharani was in that kind of other mind, not really so attentive and embarrassed, Krishna took the opportunity to start drawing makari and lotus flowers and mango blossoms on her breast with tilak. And Krishna proved himself to be very expert in that art. In this way, as dear Lalita Nayak, a hero, Krishna was enjoying his youthful proclivities in the company of the gopis. Generally, those who are expert in drama choose to call Cupid the ideal dear Lalita. But we can more perfectly find in the personality of Krishna all the characteristics of dear Lalita. So Kamdev, the god of love, is usually considered to be the epitome of dear Lalita and dear Lalita. But Krishna is the Aprakrita. He's the Aprakrita. Aprakrita Kamadev. Madan Mohan. The Aprakrita, Madan Mohan, the transcendental god of love, Manmata Mamata Sham. So this whole dialogue, and he's exhibiting this Parihasa Chaturi, this expertise. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in the beginning of his commentary on this verse, he envisions a dialogue that the gopis had, envisions, he saw it happened. The gopis say, reply now, but Shyam, a question may be raised. Is it proper for us to meet in the forest in the middle of the night, since we are young girls and you are a young boy, dashing young boy? And then he goes on like this, and he says, Gopis say, Krishna, it's a fact, we are young girls, and we're meeting you in the dead of night in a lonely forest. But still, no one in the village will gossip us about us. No one will slander us or blaspheme us. Why? And they won't ask any questions about our chastity. They won't doubt our chastity, even though we're here in the forest in the middle of the night with you. Why? Because we have all come here in a large group. A large group have come. So someone says, oh, Radharani met Krishna in the forest at midnight. And then the first question someone will say, was she by herself? So, no, there was 10,000 other gopis. So what intimacy, what can you do with 10,000 gopis? Like someone might just like say, for example, in the rules of brahmachari or sannyas, says a sannyasi or brahmachari, this is Yajnavalkya. Yajnavalkya is a great rishi. He has some niyam for brahmachari, sannyas. Says that a celibate man should not meet alone in a private place with a woman. Someone might say, oh, so-and-so Maharaj is with this lady. Oh, that's very bad. And then they tell everyone, he's with this lady. And then they ask Maharaj, were you with this lady? Yeah, I was with this lady. But there was 10 other ladies also. So then, oh, okay, if there's 10 other ladies, then it's like a little, you know, it's kind of socially will be accepted and cooled down. Only one, then, as Krishna is saying, my mind can't be trusted in your mind. That's Krishna. So this is going on like this. They say that we're here in a big group, so no one will actually question the morality or impropriety of our meeting. So what Vishnu is saying, that Krishna is telling the gopis to go home. Now the gopis are replying, we don't have to worry about home because we came in a big group. Now, once we're here in a big group, if you take us one by one to different kunjas, who's going to know that? The only thing that will be reported is they went in a big group and they came back in a big group and they danced. They don't know that there's thousands and thousands of Keli Kunjas all around the Rasmandala. There's Alitas, Rati Keli Kunja, and Radharani and thousands. And Radharani, she says, oh, Krishna, I'm very tired. And all my Sakis are in there and they're Seva Kunjas waiting to render you this Rati Keli Seva. And so you please go there. So Krishna is thinking, oh, they came in a big group, and they're all in these kunjas, and I'm only one, and what to do? And Radharani, this is her agya, Radha agya, guru my guru agya, Radharani, Radhikara prema guru amishishyanat. But I don't even want to go, but Radharani's tired, okay, so let her rest. Then Krishna's thinking, okay, vibhuti. Then he goes to all the sakis kunjas at the same time. So even the Vishnu's, the way the gopis reply is, no one's going to spread any bad rumors about us. Our chastity will be preserved, our name, everything, which you were doubting in your line of discussion, trying to encourage us to go back. It's all right. Then Krishna says, okay, granted. But maybe your relatives, and it's all right, but your friends, what about your intimate girlfriends? They may be worried about you, and terribly worried about you. Where are you? It's late at night. They're not going to criticize you. They're not going to blaspheme you or spread rumors about you. They're your friends, but they're worried about because they love you. And maybe your friends will be searching for you now. What to speak of your mothers, fathers, sons, brothers, and husbands? Don't put them in anxiety. And then he says, however, your children, being only 2 or 3 months of age, don't worry, they won't be looking for you. Little bit of humor. They won't be looking for you because they're not expert in the skill of searching for lost persons. Because children are 2 or 3 usually get lost themselves. And you know, whose children were they? Were they're probably their sister's children. And that's also the discussion who had children, who didn't. So here, you know, Krishna's trying to in this first two lines, Mata, Pita, Putra, Bratra, Patiyas, he's talking about family. And he's using this as a reason for them, a karanam, because he asked them 2 verses ago, karanam, what is the reason for your coming? And they were quiet. So now he's giving them so many reasons, karanam, why they should go back. He says, you should return, pratiyata, prajam pratiyata. And I'll give you the reasons in case you don't have any. And then one by one, they actually defeat and refute his reasons. But then I wanted to discuss this one point here about family. First, Krishna preached to them on one level about your personal safety, your personal security, your security, safety, and danger to your body and the society. And now he's going on another level, family. And being from the West, from Russia, America, Europe, etc., family means practically nothing in these countries, at least these days, in modern times. But in India, what to speak of 5,000 years ago, in this Varnashram, this Vedic culture, this human spiritual culture centered on moksha, family was an integral unit for the whole society and whole civilization to attain liberation, dharmartha, moksha. So now when this is not then and even now in India, family relationships and feelings are very important. Family relationships and feelings are very strong and unbreakable. And he's appealing to the gopis as if maybe this will touch your heart. This will touch your heart. Because even the gopis, when they send a message with the swan to Mathura and Hansaduta, Rupa Goswami, they use this same line of thought. Oh, Krishna, you forgot about us, but what about Mother Yashoda? And what about your cows? And what about that mango sapling we planted by the banks of the Yamuna? Remember you and Radharani planted that together? Well, now it's producing beautiful fruits. So why don't you come so we can offer them to you? So they're appealing to him and about his connections with Braj and the pastimes and his family connections. Doesn't even Nanda Baba mean anything to you? Okay, we were like a one-night stand and, you know, you forgot about us. Now you're with the Mathura Ramanis and the high society. So, okay. So Krishna's using this idea here because it's so powerful. Then yet they're not moving. They're not even thinking about it. So we can see this point also. It's a very nice story here. Of course, I'm not very deep in all these things because I have no adhikar or I'm not bhavuka. But oftentimes I see that because we're trying to follow as sadhakas the mood of the gopis, the surrender of the gopis, the intensity of the gopis, their attachment, and I analyze it and understand it and pray to them that we can become free from all these things of fear and personal safety and security and throw ourselves at the feet of Krishna on the banks of the Yamuna and never run home and never depend and be fearful of anything. So we're praying for these more seemingly superficial aspects of the Leela. But one thing we see is that, so when Krishna uses, if this even doesn't work, then what will work? Because in India, we see examples, very clear examples. Gopis have run to Krishna. They are devotees. They've run to Krishna. They've approached Krishna. They've been called by Krishna. They've approached him. They surrendered. They're there. They've left the homes behind, family, mothers, fathers, sons, everything. They've attained Krishna. They're with him. They're in Vrindavan. They've attained Vrindavan. So going to Vrindavan is like going to a temple, for example. Some devotee goes to a temple or takes shelter of some saintly person, even if he's home. Let's say going to a temple, kind of the old days of ISKCON and whatnot. Then, or in India, it still happens. Brahmachari wants to join the temple, Indian. And then, so he leaves his home, leaves his job, leaves his mother, father, everyone. He goes to the temple. Now he's approached Krishna. He's been called in the heart and inspired by Sadhu Sangha and Shastra Pardana, reading the scriptures. He's come before Krishna. He's there. He's surrendering. Then who comes? Then the family comes. And that's why they list here. He lists Mata, Pita, Putra, Bhrata, Patya. There's a sequence of who Shukadeva and Vyasadeva is listing. This is the degree of importance in the family unit, degree of importance of the family unit of India. Mother, father, son, brother, last, husband, and relatives. There's no one more important in the entire Indian subcontinent than mother. And there's a whole religion of Eastern India is around worshipping mother, Shakta, Shaktas. Shaktas worship the divine mother, Ma. And so when the brahmachari tries to join the temple, who's the first one that comes to bring him home? The mother. Oh, Sunil, oh, how can you leave me? And she cries and he's, yeah. Well, can you, okay, come home for a few days. So many times, just the mother comes. No one else has to come. What about the father? Of course, there's no sons. He's not married. But his brother may come. Then, oh, yeah, the family pull is so strong. It's so powerful. You can't imagine, having been here for so many years and seeing what these young people go through to try to approach Krishna. And even in the West, the same thing is there. So Krishna knows that. So he's, what about your mother? Have you forgotten your mother? And they do the same thing with him later on in Hansadutta. Have you forgotten your mother? Why don't you come home to your mother? Because the word in Sanskrit for mother is Amba. But Amba is also a name for gopi. So they say, come home to your Amba. So Amba, when the gopis are in ecstasy, they look at each other, Amba, Amba, and mother, mother. It means mata, Amba. So Krishna says, come home to your mother. I mean the gopis. You've forgotten your mother, which means us. It says Mother Yashoda, Amba, Arjanani. So this whole idea. So then what happens? Just one relative is so powerful to bring the boy home. And there's an anecdote of Bhakti Sanatha Saraswati. Because the word for mother is matara. Matara. Here it says matara pitara putra. Mother. And in Bengal they call mother ma. It's oma, oma. They call their mothers, their janam mata, their birth mothers, oma. One boy joined the temple in Bagbazar, maybe I think it was Mayapur actually. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's time, brahmachari, from a high class family, maybe Brahmin or Kshatriya, I don't remember. And he was serving there, and then the parents came to know that he was staying there. And then they approached the temple, and they were very big people, like political people, district magistrate, or some very big family, influential family from Calcutta, came to Mayapur looking for their lost son who joined the spiritual movement, in this case, the Gaudiya Math, Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur. And they said, Mr. So-and-so is here looking for their son, Guru Maharaj. Ah, acha. Quickly call that brahmachari. Brahmachari came. And then Bhakti Sananda Saraswati looked at that brahmachari very lovingly and very compassionately. He said, please, you hide under my bed. You stay under my tukat, my bed. And there was some cloth here from the bed to the floor. He could not be seen. He was hidden behind there. And he saw them choop. He said, be quiet. Be quiet. Don't say anything no matter what happens. This is my order. You be quiet. Everything will be all right. Mother and father came in. Gurudev or Maharaj, all respect, they paid respect and gave sweets and garland, so many proper things when they approached sadhu. And they received asan, water, and friendly words. Oh, we heard our son is here and we're very worried about him. He has an illustrious future for him and he's our only son and all these things. So the son is underneath the bed listening. His father is speaking very logically and very cool-headedly. And the son is that way. And Bhaktisiddhanta says, yes, I understand how you must be so concerned for your son. I empathize with you. And then he's not saying where the son is. He's not revealing where the son is, that he's right under the bed. He's just being very cordial and respectful and hearing the dialogue. And then the mother starts speaking. Oh, Maharaj, and she starts crying. Oh, like crying. My son, please. I know he's here. Please give my son back. And then the boy under the bed, he's like, oh, my mother. Oh, what's my mother? And he's like, why is Guru Maharaj saying he hasn't seen me? Because the Guru Maharaj said, I really empathize. I sympathize with your distress and anguish. And if I hear anything of your son, I'll be sure to send him to Calcutta. I'll have my personal car take him to Calcutta. And I hope everything goes all right. I'll pray to Bhagavan Thakurji to help you find your son. Okay, thank you, Swamiji. Thank you very much. It's very, I knew you were a great saint and we can count on you. Yes, yes. And then he left. The son was trembling. He came out, oh, Guru Maharaj, how could you say that? My mother, she was crying. My ma was crying. Ma was crying so much. And she loves me so much. Why didn't you tell her? And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in a very deep, sober tone of voice, he said, that was not ma. That was not ma crying. That was not ma, your mother. That was maya. Maya, maya, maya. That which is not. The maya. And he played on, because he's Bengali, so he played on this ma. Ma means, he says, it's not ma. It was not your mother crying. That was maya crying to take you back to samsara. And I have saved you. Confirmed. So just stay with me. Stay Guru Parashraya. You're under my feet. Now stay there. And I will take you out of this maya. So that's an example of Matara Pitra Putra. The mother came searching for the boy with the father. And the mother is maya. So the gopis, they didn't need to be preached to. They were already convinced that this was the only thing to do. So the another point we see here, not finding you at home, your mothers, fathers, sons, brothers, and husbands are certainly searching for you. Don't cause anxiety for your family members. Sadvasam. Bandhu sadvasam. 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 This means, says here, means anxiety. So this is another point we see, even in Krishna's Leela, that he, in his course of his pastimes, if he's dancing on Kaliya and he's relishing that dance, and as soon as Krishna knows that his devotees are feeling some distress or anxiety, then immediately whatever he's doing, he leaves that. If he's dancing on Kali and vanquishing him, then he understands that Mother Yashoda is completely distraught and full of anguish and fainted on the banks. Then, okay, I've gone too far. That's too much. I can't cause this distress. Then he just taps one foot on Kaliya and everything comes out. He vomits all his anarthas and avidya and poisons and surrenders. And that's it. Then Krishna goes to the banks. And same thing with Damodar Leela, that when he saw that Mother Yashoda was at the point of, when she was at the brink of so much anguish, she was just trying and trying and trying to bind him, then, oh, now Mother's becoming anxious. Okay, she's so much parishram and exhaustion and fatigue, but now she's becoming sad. It was almost like, in the beginning of this Yashoda trying to bind me, it was something like, it was almost like fun for Mother Yashoda. But then her heart's being affected. Oh, why can't I bind? And she's feeling distressed in her heart. Oh, now this isn't play. Leela means play, and sweet exchange of love. But now Mother Yashoda's feeling some distress, some agitation, and she's not feeling happy. So then okay. And some acharyas say that although there are hundreds and hundreds of ropes, she just used the rope from her hair, that she had some small string or something binding her hair, because she was so exasperated. Oh, so many ropes I've used, and I can't bind this little tiny baby Gopal, little tiny waist. And she went like this. Oh, no. Hey, Bhagavan, how I tie this boy? So just with the rope around her hair, some bun or braid or whatever, beanie, she had some small rope, thin, like a cord. And she went like, oh no, like this. The aha principle. And then she tied. So here, the same thing, that Krishna, he doesn't want to distress them. So now Vishnath, he goes on to say this discussion here. He's testing also the Brajagopi's attachment. And these verses, one by one, at least I'm seeing it at one level, he's testing the Brajagopi's attachment verse by verse. What are their weak points? Like we say weak points in someone's argument or weak points in someone's behavior. It means anarthas, or our attachments. So one by one, verse by verse, in the first he was dismantling or their fear for their body, their safety, and their protection, self-preservation. Now he's talking about their families. He's testing their attachments to families. Families are just extended extensions of your own body. Janasya moho yamaha mameti. The verse is there. That when we're tightly bound in a family situation, then we Janasya moho yamaha mameti. That's an illusion. And it binds us and it makes us think, Hamameti, I and mine, this is my mother, my mater, my pitara, my father, my brother, my brother, my husband, my putra, my son. And this is another attachment. So Krishna's testing this and the gopi is cutting. No, no. Neti, neti, this, not this, not this, not this. Whatever test Krishna gives them, they say, no, you, no, you, no. Only, they always make the right choice and they choose Krishna. They never go with it. He says, what about this? I don't want. So this is, they're passing all the tests. And then the question is, how many tests does Krishna give all of us? We got so many tests. Are you, what about family? Oh, we have some god brothers and they're old, like we're old. And we speak with them because we've known them for 40 years. So, you know, Prabhupada wanted us when we got old to kind of leave the family, at least, okay, maybe not sannyas, but vanaprast, and absorb ourselves in bhajan, maybe live in Vrindavan. What's happening? Oh, my grandchildren are there now. This is devotees, my godbrothers. My grandchildren are there. And I said, well, remember Prabhupada said, panchas urdvam vanam vrajat. There's some phrase like this in Vedas, pancham urdham. When one reaches udvam, when one rises, when one advances to the age of 50, then the vanam brajet, he should go to the van, he should go to the forest. That's called vanaprast. That means, okay, the forest may be a guest house or maybe an apartment in Vrindavan or here, but forest means away from your attachments, away from your family and friends and society. And maybe with your wife, or maybe not. No one's doing, practically no one. So it's not easy. So the gopis seemingly, they don't have big degrees, but they're showing such a wonderful example of non-attachment to anything but Krishna. Now Vishnu Chakravarti, he explains this last line. It's very interesting, this word, apashyantyo, because throughout apashyanti, there's a verse in Bhagavatam. Vichinvanti yapashyantyo madkridva bandhu sadvasam. And it translates, he says that vichinvanti, your relatives, which I mentioned all of them, they must be searching for you. So don't create anxiety for your bandhu, for your family members. So now he mentions that about Krishna saying, don't make anxiety for them. And he says this. Krishna's another meaning. Now this is what he says. The outward meaning is don't cause anxiety for your relatives due to their not finding you. Ma kridvam bandhu sadvasam. Now the internal meaning, Vishnu says. What Krishna is really saying here with little change of the words. Don't worry. Even while searching for you, your relatives will not be able to see you. Because it says, Vichinvanti, they're searching, but it says, Ya Pashyanto, it can be Pashyanto. Pashyanti means to manifest or to see. They may see you, but it says Apashyanto. If you know, depends on how you break it. So if you take it, he says they're looking for you, but then Apashyanto means they're not looking for you. Means they can't see you. Even there's an example, so many examples of that in Govinda Lilamrita. Here in Madhyan Lila and Radhakund, there are different kunjas of the Sakis. And there's one, maybe Champak Lata's kunj. I think everything there is golden inside that kunj. The flowers are golden, the trees are golden, the trunks of the trees are golden, the land is golden. Everything is golden there. So if Krishna is sitting in there with Radharani, because Champak has a very special rasahigar kitchen there. And Champak Lata is a very expert cook. Her nickname is Mistahana, or Mistahat, Mitaihat. She has a very sweet hand. Like we say, if someone is good at gardening, they have a green thumb. But she has, I think they call it white thumb, if you're a good baker or something, white thumb, I don't know. But she's a very good cook. She's expert in making sweets. So in this kitchen she has, she prepares so many wonderful preparations for Radha and Krishna. And it's Madhyan Leela. When Krishna is sitting there with Radharani in Champakalata's kunj, if by chance, which that chance never happens, but if by chance Jatila was to come here, which he can never does and can never do, but some rival Sakhi may come, there'd be no way they could see them together. And if Mukara, her grandmother, may come, oh, Krishna, you're sitting there, that's very nice. You're just sitting there having some fruit salad or whatever. Have you seen Radha? No, I don't know. I think Radha's in Yavat. And she's sitting right next to him, but her golden taptakanchana gaurangi, her golden complexion, blends in with the golden trees and the golden vines and everything. And similarly, there's also a sham-colored forest where Radharani sits with Krishna. So then, apashanti. Pashanti, apashanti. They see, but they don't see. The verse is there about the materialistic people. They see death before them, but they don't see. Apashanti, pashanti. So Vishnu is saying, they'll come looking for you, but they won't be able to see you. Because, why? Then he explains, don't worry, even while searching for you, your relatives will not be able to see you deep in this dense forest. Therefore, because if you go deep in the forest, you can't see. It's too dark. Even in the full moon. Exactly what happened to the gopis in the same Leela, Rasa Leela. And this gopi, and when they were searching for Krishna, they searched, it says they searched into the deep into the forest. The moonlight was not penetrated. It was so deep, so many trees, so much dense foliage and vegetation, trees, that it was actually dark even under the Sharad Purnima. They couldn't see. What's the point? What's the point? We can't see. He's Shamasundar. He's Ganesham. He has a blackish complexion. And even though it's full moon, we can't even find him here in this dark forest. Better we return to the Kafir sands of the Yamuna, which is lit, so brilliant sands, and then at least we'll be seen. We can't find Krishna, but if we go back there under the moonlight and cry out our hearts in the Gopi Geet, then he'll hear our sound and he'll easily find us. So we don't want to hide from him, we want to be easily findable. So if you're sitting on the beach under the full moonlight, you can be seen kilometers away, especially if the beach is shimmering and glistening like camphor powder dust. The sand of the banks of the Yamuna Pulin, dear Shamir, the Rasa, is like powdered camphor, glistening and shining like Chintamani, and very brilliant. So the gopis, you can, some long straight beaches under the full moon, you can see for kilometers practically. So they want it to be seen. Heard first, sound will go first. And wherever Krishna may be hiding, that sound of their heart's song will bring them. Oh, there they are. So they didn't want to hide from Krishna, although Krishna appeared to be disappearing from them. So they won't be able to be, don't worry, you will never be seen here. Don't be afraid of your family members. Just spend the night here enjoying freely with me. So he's saying, Bandhu Sarvasami, forget about the anxiety. They won't, and then there's, I just a little summary of this verse, and then verse 20, I'll read the verse again. Matara Pitara Putra Bratara Patayaschava Vachinvanti Yapashyanto Matkridvam Vandusadvasam. Translation. We'll give Prabhupada's translation. My dear friends, I can understand that you have left your homes without permission of your guardians. As a result of that, I think your mothers, your fathers, your elderly brothers, and even your sons, and what to speak of your husbands, must be very anxious to find you. As long as you are here, they must be searching in different places, and their minds must be very agitated. Don't tarry, means stay any longer. Please go back and make them peaceful. So in this verse, Krishna is continuing to confuse and confound the gopis by telling that his mothers and fathers, they're not seeing them at home. If they wake up in the middle of the night for some reason, oh, where's my daughter? Where's my daughter-in-law, my wife? Then they'll become agitated. It's like panicky. They'll become, oh, what happened? So by this word, apashyanto, Krishna is secretly telling the Braja Gopis that these family members would not find them there, as I just mentioned. In case the Braja Gopis feared that the forest was not safe, he said that, don't worry. They were afraid. The Gopis were not afraid of tigers or wolves. they were afraid of getting caught by their mother-in-law. So they're not afraid of these Gora Rupam or Gora Sattvam, the fearful dark night, or the ferocious man-eating jungle animals like wolves and jackals and tigers and bears. They're afraid of their bear-like mothers and their tiger-like mother-in-laws. But they, apashyantyo, they will never see you. So if no one, what you don't see won't hurt you. That was a phrase when I grew up with some song. What you don't see won't hurt you. Very interesting thing to meditate on. They would not find them. So they don't. Now, the sequence, Srila Vyasadeva and Shukadeva were giving the sequence of the family members who would search for them. And this is a sequence. Who loves you most? If you want to know who loves you most, first your mother, then your father, then your son, then your brother, then the one who loves you least. Know who that is? Your husband. Even 5,000 years ago, Shukadev and Vyasamuni, they knew the relative importance of the husband. He's last on the list. First mother's matara, mom will come. And then if mothers search and they don't find, if the mother searches and doesn't find and gives up and comes back, I couldn't find. Because the father's a little lazy. And he's less attached. And he says, oh, look, my daughter's gone. Look, you go look for her. He goes back to sleep. And because fathers are not so attached as mothers are, naturally. So then she comes back distraught and anguish and frustrated. I can't find her. I went everywhere. Oh, you can't find her. You sure? Go again. Look again. I really don't want to go. No, I really can't find. All right. Then the father goes. And he looks the best he can, and he figures, I have another two daughters and three sons. So he comes back. And when he comes back, then the brother or the son of that lady's married, the son more than their brother, where's my mother? Where's my mother? Oh, she's lost. Well, you couldn't find her. No, mother couldn't find father. Well, I'm going. So then the son goes, and he says, I can't find her. Putra, matra, pitra, putra. Then they come back. Now finally, you know, the brother, like Kumbhakarna or something, he wakes up. Ah, oh, what's all the talk and disturbance about? What's going on in the house? Oh, you don't know. Your sister ran into the forest. Somebody played the flute or something. I don't know. She went crazy. Took something or ate something. Or ran into the forest. Oh, well, did mom find, the mother brought her back? No, she can't find. What about father? No. What about her son? No. Oh. Okay, I'll go. So then he goes. So they search and they come back and they fail, and then the husband, and finally the brother comes back and says, nobody can find your wife, my sister, our daughter. So will you do something? Oh, I'll find her. So finally, last on the list, the husband comes to the rescue. And then if he comes, he'll have great determination because everyone else failed. But Krishna is saying, none of these relatives, Bandhu, would find them. This is the inner meaning of the word apashyanto. They'll not see you, they'll not find you. Even if they try, they won't find you. Just like Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, even when the mother and father tried to find their son, he was concealed under the bed by the mercy of the Guru. So this is some ideas from this verse 20. And tomorrow we can begin verse 21 by the mercy of our Guru Bhargava.